Sylvia's Synergy Effect, brought to you by Synergy Home Care.
Getting back in the kitchen got Mom back into life. After her stroke, she felt uncomfortable doing what she used to do. But with her Synergy caregiver, Emma, things changed. She got help at home and regained the confidence to get back to her old recipes. Now the hardest thing is getting Mom to stop making her biscuits. So good.
We believe getting back to what you love can keep you moving forward. Find your Synergy Effect with Synergy Home Care.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Rotatoes is that Friday feeling, and that means it is time for another episode of the Rotating Heroes podcast, and it's time to start a brand new arc. It's arc 2, baby. Oh, wow. What a wonderful time we had with this arc. We have the wonderful Johnny Chiodini, Josephine McAdam, and Edward Spence. A true and fantastic time. It was awesome. It was awesome as hell, and I'm very, very excited to have this group. It worked out really, really nicely because I feel like these guys just sort of gelled so well. We actually had the pleasure of introducing Johnny and Josephine on a shoot that we did at 12 Size Studios, and it was just kind of magic, you know. It was kismet. Is that the right word? I don't know if that's the right word. But anyway, it was awesome. It was great. It was very, very cool. So I'm going to hurry up and get the heck out of here and let you enjoy this episode. But before you go, if you have a moment to check out the Rotating Heroes Patreon, then please do. We are getting ready to start arc 4 over there. So there's a whole arc in between you. Well, two arcs, really, because this is just episode 1 of the second arc. And so we would love to have you over there. We would love to for you to go and check that out if you can. And we even have the one and only John Mackey starting a live stream where he will be playing as Shadrach Turley doing Baldur's Gate 3. Shadrach having been abducted by an Autoloid in the depths of space and then taken to this strange land of Baldur's Gate. So if you want to watch Shaddy take on Baldur's Gate, then you should absolutely go and check out the Patreon. There'll be a live stream, I believe, on Wednesdays. Maybe not every Wednesday, but hopefully at least the next couple. So go check it out right now. That's enough rambling for me. Let's go ahead and get into it. Take it away, Past Me.
And now presenting the Rotating Heroes Podcast.
Welcome back to the Rotating Heroes Podcast, everybody. I am Jas William Cartwright, and I will be your GM for this, which is the second arc of the Rotating Heroes Podcast, Campaign 2. Very excited to have some incredibly wonderful, intelligent people like Josephine McAdam. Hi. Wow. Johnny Chiodini?
Good morning.
No, Count Orlok has made it to the Zoom. No, stop revealing your characters too early.
Sorry.
And Edward Spence, maybe.
I am appetite.
Wow. Okay, so turns out none of the people who I thought were coming for this arc arrived.
Is this better, though, truly?
Maybe, yeah. Maybe, honestly. I would love to see Count Orlok play D&D.
What did you want? Did you just want, hi?
Hello.
What's up? We're just people?
I mean,
come on.
Yeah, you're right, I guess. I'll you know, screw me, I guess. You know what I mean? Yeah. Who just says hello? You know what I mean? Who does that?
Who says hello anymore?
Who does that anymore?
Who says
this is 2025. Come on.
Come on. Come on. Well, I'm very excited to have you all here. Thank you so much for joining me. Happy to have three brand new rotators to add into the mix. And I'm pretty jazzed. I'm pretty excited. I'm just thinking, is there any MacGuffin I need to say up top? Probably not. I don't think I have anything to announce or to say. Whoa, actually, no. I do actually have something to say, which is that we just released, by the time you're listening to this, we just released some artwork for our previous campaign, which looks absolutely incredible. And we've also released our official posters, our planetary posters, so of each of our main three planets, Anvil, Sim, and Mardeen. We have now these gorgeous, like, fake NASA posters for each planet, and they look cool as hell. And so they hopefully should be available to order now. So go and grab one of those snazzy, cool posters. Sweet. Without any further ado, let us go ahead and jump into Arc 2.
Deep Space Recap.
But boss, what's in there? I mean, I'm
we
on
don't
my home
know.
Planet,
we literally so. Are play, like paid not to know what's in here, just to not ask questions.
I know, but
deliver.
Don't you have an idea,
don't look.
An inkling?
Don't look. It's against company policy. Would you, since you know the layout of this place, would you take Bugsley and take the package and do the drop?
You're shoving me pretty hard towards the door. It feels like you're trying. Ow! Ow! Ow!
Can you unsummon me, please?
You're carrying the box for just a little longer, and I promise at the end of the night, I'll snap you out of existence, okay?
Thank you. The endless void of nothingness was better than this. The realization that I might be more stupid than that man over there.
I look right at Shiny.
You gonna find me a body, or...
What's that? And I desummon him.
As it makes contact, the corner of this box makes contact with the floor, there is a sound emanates... You watch as if power to this whole area of town has just completely cut out. There is an eye that opens up from below the chapel and looks at you, and you hear... There was once two trees, both of Sim. One known as the World Tree. The other was the Void Tree, and it was said that beneath its bark there was absolute nothingness.
Call me whatever you like. I am extension of you.
Let's call you Rombi.
Rombi. You want to call me Rombi?
Rombi, I got a question for you. What is it that you want? If we're going to enter into a contract together, if I'm going to take you, I'm going to need to know what the conditions are.
I'm looking for a compass.
There is blueprints for this cruise liner, which is launching in a week. Whoever it was that was receiving this package is looking to use this object to do something to that cruise liner. You know that this has the ability to essentially nuke all magic, meaning that that cruise liner would be left completely and utterly defenseless.
Shady, why is there a blueprint of your parents' ship in the box with the bomb in it?
We are the Crimson Strand, and we are vampires.
Oh.
All I know is that this box is meant to be used as a make-weight to give to the Glass Eaters, and then they will leave Giantsbane. They will leave forever.
So you will help us get aboard the ship. And you will help us form the Citadel. To do that, we would require you to join us.
Let's just say my revenge sort of lines up with the kind of thing you're doing right now.
You also have reason to dislike the Turlets.
Yes. They are the reason why my partner's not with us anymore, so...
The Citadel shall rise. A floating empire of eternal night. A kingdom unshackled from graves and gutters. A haven where blood is not a secret but a celebration. Let the mortals rot in their silver cities. We will taste the stars. We will sail the void. We will dine on planets whose names we cannot yet pronounce.
He's the guy who walks into the room full of villains, kills all the villains, and becomes the villain.
Yes!
At a certain point in the beginning there, I literally thought I would kneel to him in front of everyone.
Yeah.
And then when I started...
And there's thousands of them.
And there's thousands of them.
You all are an essential part of the plan now. The plan's changed and they want you to be an essential part of the plan. There was some talk of another Turlet involved in this. And I thought they were obviously talking about Shaddy, but then they were talking about how smart this guy is and how he's like a super brain. And I was like, that can't be that Shaddy.
Somebody's got to be the good guy. And somebody's got to save the freaking day.
Sever this individual's life force. And at that point, I will make sure that Ember comes back to you exactly as you last left her.
You have a limited time to get that box on board that ship, or we are either going to set off a bomb inside of a magical city or be swarmed by thousands of undead monsters. If anything goes wrong in this plan, and I mean anything, a lot of people are going to die. With the floor covered in blood before you, you can see this blood-soaked gray axe sitting in between the body and the head of your father, Nerilu Turlet.
Dad's fucking dead, Urinal.
Holy shit, Dad's fucking dead. Dad's dead. Oh my god, Dad's dead?
Yes.
Like, actually dead. Are you sure? Did you check the pulse?
Our family, throughout the whole universe, is looked at as the bad guys. But what if we take the reins, Urinal? What if we're the Turlets that the universe know, and we take the mantle from our family?
You could just sort of yeet me out of a window and then come pick me up. Maybe. Oh! That might be better.
And I'm gonna put my hand on the handle, and I'm just gonna, real quick. My Lucian! Oh, Mr. Saltfather, you're standing in the light of a sun, and you seem fine. It's really hot in here, and I'm gonna...
We're just... Everything's going according to plan, and everything's going to be okay. And in that moment, Tundra is going to step forward and shove the guys behind her and try to lock the door and lock them in.
Well, I only asked for two souls. You deliver me three. I will, of course, take that in consideration.
And you see the doors at the back slide open, those lift doors slide open again as Ember steps out of the lift.
I am going to take the box and throw it down at the ground with all of my force, making sure that the Salt King and Ember are all with me. And I'm going to look at my friends and try to communicate to them that I'm sorry and hopefully that they will survive this box exploding.
What did you do?
Gliding through a glorious purple and orange sky, the nebula, like a open sea filled with all manner of strange and wonderful things. A sky whale rides as if on the wind, opening its mouth and letting out a huge echoing bellow, which can be heard by the nearby ship that is sailing on one of these currents. A dark, almost obsidian hull with these little veins and cracks running through it. A classical sailing ship. But instead of a mast, there is a rather large tree extending out of it. The deck is busy with all kinds of movement and people running around, organizing, sorting, having just left the planet of Anvil, and with a potentially longer trip ahead of them, there is much work to be done. And as we descend down into the Silver Hawk, we go into its depths and into the roots of this tree, where nestled in the roots of this tree, currently sort of chiseling away at a little piece of the root system, trying to ascertain what might be wrong with this tree, we are going to meet our first rotator. Johnny Chiodini, would you like to introduce your character for us?
I would absolutely love to. My character, well, is called Sprocket. Sprocket is a clockwork soul sorcerer who happens to be a Minotaur who stands at a towering 3'11". he wears filthy denim dungarees, and he's kind of like, he would be small and wiry if he weren't also a Minotaur. So he's got these kind of very slender limbs. He's quite good at sort of getting into little gaps and moving through the root system to do maintenance. But his torso is still just, he's still built like a brick shithouse, basically. so he's kind of like a noodly brick. Being a Minotaur, he's got horns, but that's not really conducive to good engineering when you're having to crawl into a crawl space and not, like, you know, puncture a hull or something. So he's actually, what he's done is he's had them modified so that they're kind of cut off at the ends and they're hinged. So when he's going in somewhere, he can just pop them down and, like,
what?
Go around without impaling anything or indeed himself on anything. And it also works as like a handy storage unit. So I'm kind of imagining he's sort of reaching into one of his horns and maybe like his hand comes out covered in some sort of unguent that he's sort of massaging into one of these roots and being like, come on, girl, talk to me. What's wrong?
Can we please say that out of the other horn, a little straw extends down to your mouth and just occasionally you're like, you just got like a little silly straw.
Yeah. Oh, my drinking horn. Yeah,
the drinking horn. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And as you are massaging this unguent into the tree, you noticed you've been kind of brought on board the Silver Hawk because they are slightly concerned that the tree is somewhat unwell. The navigator, which is the individual responsible for forming a psychic connection with the ship itself, given its sentience, in order to kind of move it through space, has been reporting that the tree seems to be having strange and odd dreams. And usually that is a sign of, a potential sign of early onset madness, which is something that is known to happen to these sentient ships, for them to go completely mad and try and beach themselves, essentially, with the crew on board. So pretty understandable that they've brought you in with some sense of urgency just to make sure that that's not what's happening here, or if it is, can it be steadied or stopped? How do you think this manifests for Sprocket? Does this feel like a sort of more of a mechanical interaction? Is it more of an arcane interaction? Is it more nature-based interaction? What is it like? How does Sprocket kind of choose to intellectualize the relationship or the bond that he's currently kind of forming with this tree and the way he's trying to fix it?
I think they're kind of all one, really, because, like, obviously, you know, on a meta level, we know he's a sorcerer, we know he's got magic, but I think to Sprocket, good engineering just is magic.
Yes.
And also, I think he's very used to thinking of, like, machines or bits of a ship or just, like, parts as having a soul.
Yeah.
Anyway, he's kind of, because he was raised in a shipyard, he's kind of got that sort of, she's more than just planks kind of mentality. So this is kind of, I think if you asked him straight up what he's doing, he'd be saying he's just running a diagnostic. You're healing a tree. The first thing you've got to do is you've got to get into the roots, make sure there's nothing snarling them up. It's like pulling a muscle in your shoulder. You just got to find out where that is. And if it's not there, if that's not where the tension is, then you've got another problem. So he's probably, like, he's just, this is a mechanical, like, first due diligence step for him, but it is, he's also crooning to a tree while massaging a root.
Love it.
Like, it's all one and the same.
Absolutely love it. Go ahead and roll me. This is like the weirdest two options I think I've ever given a player. Go ahead and give me investigation or persuasion, whichever one you feel feels more appropriate.
Oh, well, I'll tell you what. I get a plus zero for investigation, but a plus seven for persuasion. So we'll probably go with that. That's a two. So I've rolled nine.
Nine. Okay. I think actually in this instance, sort of rolling not too well allows you to like sense a little bit of the tree's distress, as it appears that something is either happening or happened that has like upset them in some way, that there is like a, I guess you get a sense of like an imbalance. The tree feels imbalanced to you. That's what you get with a nine. It is at this point that you feel something else kind of scurrying around in the root system, as you see a little wooden kind of, almost like a little wooden drone. It's got little kind of wheels on it and like top arms and a little kind of central eyeball, which is glowing. And it sort of comes in up to you and can...
Hello.
Hello.
I'm Maddox. A pleasure.
And he sort of holds out a hand, like a really tiny hand. He's even smaller than you. He's like half a foot. He's like a tiny little wooden drone.
The pleasure. I work for the doctor, Dr. Isla. She sent me in just to see if perhaps I or we could be of any assistance to you. Dr. Isla Kova. Yes.
Pleased to meet you, yeah. I'd love some help. I'm just... First things first is checking the roots, just making sure nothing's tangled or knotted or snarled or broken or anything.
You see that the little central eye kind of goes... like kind of twitches for a second, and then you just hear a...
Hello, this is Dr. Ilor Kova.
Oh.
Pleasure. Hi, sorry, I am rather too big to fit inside the root system, so Maddox here helps me. I have just come aboard. I am actually a biochemical xenologist, and I was just rather fascinated when they said there was a possible problem with the tree.
Mm-hmm. Yes, she's not too at me. I mean, I'm only just down here for the first time myself, but...
Of course, yes.
I think something's happened, and the old girl's pretty upset. And obviously, you know, we don't want that to get any worse, do we? Explosive decompression's horrible.
This is really not fun, actually. And the last time that happened, well, it's just they were everywhere. Anyway, could you do me a small favor and just help Maddox get a tiny little bark sample, just so that we can... I would like to run some tests, possibly, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Do you want him oiling?
Oh,
little treat.
He would love that, yes.
All right, great. I've got, let's see, I've got crude, I've got, ooh, avocado oil.
What a treat.
Synthetic, obviously, but, you know.
What a treat for him, yes, please.
Yeah, all right. I'll tell you what, I'll get him some bark, and I'll give him a little blib, and send him on his way.
Thank you so much. Well, I must say, avocado oil, it's been a while. He's like rubbing it into himself. It's like, oh, wow, look at this.
I got one of those little squeezy bottles with the long neck. Like, pop, 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 pop.
You're so limber. Oh, look at me, I'm a young bot again. Oh, yes.
Oh, you look great, mate.
You see this little wooden guy just sort of, his little chest sort of cavity pops open as he just starts kind of excavating a tiny bit of like a little kind of scraping basically off of the bark of the wood. It's at this point that you hear a kind of rather loud on the kind of outside of the root system, as you hear a, hello, and you would recognize the voice of this. This is Hubert. This is the gentleman, the GIF, the rather large GIF gentleman who brought you onto the ship in the first place. I'm so sorry to interrupt. I know that you're doing rather important work there.
That's all right.
We have a rather strange situation. You see, we have a secondary smaller ship which we send out on reconnaissance missions. It's been missing for a number of days, and it is returning to us. However, it seems to have a strange biological signal coming, emanating from inside it of sort of potentially unknown origins. And we're a little concerned, and we thought that perhaps we would have you on standby to take a look just in case it is
something we should be worried about.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, strike up the band, let's sing the quarantine song. This could be very dangerous.
Do you think we actually need to sing the quarantine song?
Do you not have a quarantine song?
No, I feel we should now. That was not something the captain has told me that we should have on board.
No, that's all right.
Perhaps you could teach us the quarantine song?
Sure, yeah. Well, I'll teach you as we go. It's very easy. It's call and response.
Perfect. Marvellous. That's what I was hoping for.
What time is it? Quarantine. What does that mean? It's quarantine. You've got it. It's that easy.
There we go. That's it. Wow, fantastic. Now I'm wanting us to edit in a huge choral version of that song. And as you make your way out of the root system, you see this large GIF hippo man in front of you. You see that he's kind of now got strapped to his back, this sort of big looking, it kind of looks like a gun, but you know that it's not, it doesn't get loaded with any kind of ammunition. It's sort of like a almost like a concussive type weapon. Because guns that load metal and fire metal are very much seen as obscene and are mostly outlawed. And yes, he kind of, as you're making your way up singing the quarantine song, you led up to the deck, and Hubert says, turns around to a small goblin who's covered in like grease and clearly spends most of their time in the engine room, as they are almost entirely like singed and, you know, have many burnt ends. Turns out, yes, would you mind getting that new hired muscle ever since the we lost the last three? Just perhaps good to have them on standby too. Oh yes, absolutely, of course.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
We're going to follow this little goblin now as they run down into kind of the depths of the ship. Opens up a hatch, and where it should kind of lead you down and out of the ship's hull, there is like an entire another floor of like rooms, as there appears to be some sort of different dimension, essentially. Opens it up. There's like a room, a quarters there. Walks down the corridor, knocks on this kind of large steel door. Hello? Hello? Are you awake? Are you? Hello? Josephine, would you like to introduce your character for us?
Yes, I would. yes, so the door opens up and you see Amber Elysiana, who is a beautiful high elf with golden sun-kissed skin, long red wavy hair, and she's in beautiful resplendent golden armor, really really inconspicuous, low-key, very passable in all society, has two scimitars by her side, always has a little smile on her face. And when the door opens, you realize there's like three other people in here. We were just having a little dance session.
You see the goblin looks up at you, Ember, and is just like, holy shit.
No, you got it now. Yeah, you just do one, two, step, turn, one, two, step. Yes, that's how you do it. Oh my gosh. Everyone on here is so, so nice. I'm so happy to be here. How can I help you? I'm sorry.
The goblin immediately reaches up to try and take a hat off and then realizes they don't have a hat. And they're like, just sort of pause at their own head for a second. And then, they were wondering if you would come up to the top deck for us. A ship is incoming, and they don't know what, there's something about it on the ship that they're not sure about. And,
Oh no. Are they a little scared?
Yeah, and so they were wondering if you wouldn't mind just being there just in case anything goes wrong. You know, use the old sharpened pointies that you've got there.
Oh, gosh, hopefully it doesn't come to that, but of course, it'd be my honor. All right, fellas, you keep it up. You can keep practicing in here. I'm just going to be up top, topside, all right?
And you are led through this ship. Having only recently arrived, having been picked up in Anvil, yeah, you're led through up onto the deck, and you see Hubert, who you spoke to when inquiring about boarding the ship.
Howdy, Hube.
Hello. It's so good to see you. I was just... there is our ship, Bugsley, you may remember, is approaching, and there is something on board Bugsley, but Bugsley, for whatever reason, can't seem to identify what it is. And so we just want to be, you know, extra careful just in case something, you know, nasty with some teeth and some claws and some whatnot just jumps out and tries to kill us, you know.
Oh, hell. You want me to look with my elf eyes?
Yes, the elf eyes are notoriously good.
Strikes a pose, puts one leg up on the edge of the ship, and looks out.
Wow. It's just sort of effortlessly cool and impressive. Okay. Oh, I also... It's so sorry. I should also introduce you. We've had two new members on board.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. This here is Adonis Napoleon Daedalus Sprocket. And then you see sort of coming out after this tiny little wooden kind of drone robot, this huge, sort of maybe 6.5+ foot tall Goliath, like incredibly built up, Dr. Isla Kova. Hello, it is a pleasure. But then what you immediately recognize is, despite the fact that she looks absolutely stacked, she is like the least coordinated person you've ever seen in your life, as she like fully nearly falls up onto the deck, just missing, like having just missed the last step. Sorry.
Oh, no. I'm going to try to smoothly catch her and help her up.
Wow.
Oh, dear. You almost fell.
You are so smooth and quick. It's quite impressive. It's a pleasure to meet you.
Oh, shucks.
Anyway, I came to look at the strange thing on the ship.
Oh, you want to look with me?
With you? Sure. Yes, I can do that, I guess.
And I assume the position again.
Wow.
Of looking for the ship, to be clear.
You see that Dr. Kova turns around to you, Sprocket, and goes, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't actually properly introduce myself. Dr. Isla Kova, hi. Nice to meet you.
Hello. Wow.
Extends out a hand for you to shake.
And try and grab it with both of mine.
Just grabs hold and shakes you a little.
Sorry for being so rude. Hi. I'm Amber.
I think Sprocket's eyes go wide and just like a cartoon, you can see the plumes of air that just go from his nostrils.
Hello. Adonis Napoleon Daedalus Sprocket. It's nice to meet you.
Do you want me to call you all of them names?
No, Sprocket's. Sprocket's fine.
Sprocket.
Yeah.
I love it. I like your horns.
Oh, thanks. Grew them myself.
So, Hubert the Gift's just like, so, listen, basically what happened is we had three individuals who took this ship, Bugsley, with a parcel to be delivered. They went, as far as we were aware, delivered the parcel, but then never returned to Bugsley, and then sent a missive a few days ago. One of them returned to the ship and said they were had something to do, and anyway, it's very confusing. I'm not 100% clear on the story. All I know is that they told Bugsley to be in a certain place, tailing this cruise ship for some reason, and then something happened to the cruise ship, it sounds like, and now Bugsley has returned back with some strange semi-organic signature coming from the inside of it. So...
we are obviously concerned. We are hopeful that it will just be the three members of our crew who have gone missing. But no, Bugsley should have recognized them, so we'll see.
You said cruise ship?
Yes, it's a cruise liner known as the Shadesmar. It just launched, but something odd seems to have happened to it. There's a sort of just in the last few hours.
Cruise ships, yes. Like for detoxifying yourself.
I guess that is what some people do. No, it's this. The Shadesmar is this sort of almost like sort of floating city made by the Turlet family. You see, they just launched it. It was supposed to go on a year long cruise. Around the nebula, and something seems to have run afoul. I hope it's not doesn't have anything to do with our crew. I'm sure they'll be fine. We don't have much concern with that. We are actually, of course, like I mentioned to you before, we will be making our way to Sim as soon as Bugsley is returned to us. So,
okay. Well, I stay ready.
Great. Yes, please do. And at this point, we can now see this little kind of, like, almost like four, maybe, person metal ship, which has a tiny little kind of, like, sprout tree growing out of the back of it. It's all, like, fully enclosed ship, though. It's not, like, a kind of normal wooden hull. It's a much more kind of modern, more, like, sci-fi-looking ship. It's got these two little kind of mandibles that kind of come out of the front, which it uses to, like, carry large items and things around. And you see it's slowly approaching. It kind of, as it gets to the sort of hull of the ship, it sort of turns around and it the sort of back end of it kind of clamps onto the ship as this big kind of lower, this like big kind of ramp lowers down, lands, and there is this plume of like smoke and that comes out of the back of it.
Wow, damn.
As out of the back of this ship, you see suddenly a man's head.
Can I spike it? Like with a scimitar?
As you go to spike this man's head, you hear, Whoa, please don't do that. Please don't do that.
Give me one reason why.
Because I can still feel pain despite the fact that I'm just a severed head.
Oh gosh, what a terrible existence. I'll put my sword up and pick up the head.
Hello, Lucian, a pleasure to meet you.
Oh, you poor thing.
Yes, well, you would think that I am in fact the most sort of worse off, right now in this scenario potentially, but I'm actually not. And as you will cast your eye back into the ship, you can see that there appears to be what was a very rusty looking old robot. However, it's in about 12 pieces, still kind of loosely connected by different bits of wires and everything. As you just hit, and Lucian, this head says, I was floating through space and bumped into this ship here, and then we picked up this gentleman. He does seem to still be slightly awake and clinging on desperately to life. Ed, would you like to introduce your character for us?
Yeah, thanks, Jasper. You would realize that half of the smoke that has emanated out of this ramp has a slightly orangey hue to it. And the origin of this seems to be this pile of rusted metal. This figure sort of looks like if Pinocchio was made of metal and aged to the point of being a chain-smoking adult. He is all like sort of pin-thin limbs and like a tiny thin neck and this disproportionately large head, sort of topped with a flat cap, these big sort of flickering bulb eyes and this flappy mouth, and these large denim dungarees over the top of all of this and heavy boots. And the wires and the exposed bolts do not... They ate the Pinocchio comparisons. He looks like a fallen puppet on the floor, just sort of twitching and...
Oh.
Ah, Jesus Christ!
Oh! Goodness. Hello? My name is Hubert. Are you friendly?
Hey, yeah, no, I'm doing fine. I just, I can't fucking move.
Yes, it would seem that way. This is the Silver Hawk. What do you, how did you end up inside of Bugsley here?
Honestly, couldn't even begin to tell you, my friend. How you all doing?
Go ahead. Sorry, what is the name of your character, Ed?
As he sort of like shifts and a little bit of the dungaree comes loose, you would actually see a bit of branding. And you see a model number, 8R-1AN. However, this individual is known as Brian.
Lovely. Just above where the serial number is, you see the logo of Turlet Robotics. As you are kind of finally kind of coming back around a little bit here, Brian, go ahead and roll me a history check, and let's see how much you actually remember of what just happened.
Hey.
I love a history check for your just functioning memory.
I feel that will be a recurring bit in this series. That would be a 17.
Brian, you remember, or you know for a fact, that you'd finally landed yourself a really prestigious job. You had finally got yourself a job which you felt pretty confident could pay a decent way to you getting some upgrades, some new shinier bits of the body. And you, as a experienced sort of engineer, were slightly dismayed when this dream job aboard the Shadesmar, this incredibly luxurious cruise liner, turned out to be nothing more than cleaning duty. It seems they were kind of hedging their bets by having as many engineers on board as possible. But your first task, you were sort of on one of those classic little kind of rope swing type deals, and you were basically just scrubbing the outside of the hull and occasionally repainting some bits where if it become chipped or anything that kind of hit the outside of this gigantic, literally roving city which had nearly 50,000 people aboard it. The last thing that happened, or the thing that you suddenly kind of springs to your mind, is that as you were dangling on the outside of the ship, cleaning and sorting, painting little bits in, you looked up at the Solarium, which is this kind of the engine room of this incredibly, impossibly large a ship, which has a infinitesimally small kind of almost like atomic level sun inside it, which powered this impossibly large thing. You remember just seeing an huge blinding white flash from the top of that solarium as the whole ship seemed to start convulsing. And as you looked through into the windows of the ship, you could start to see people disappearing in flashes of white light. And you yourself ended up disappearing, reappearing, disappearing, and randomly teleporting, it would seem, to locations and places that you'd never seen before in your entire life, before finally you reappeared on the outside of the ship as it was moving in a pretty sleddy motion, and you ended up colliding with it into many different pieces. Fortunately, then, you, as you started to drift through space, bumped into the head of Lucien, this who seems to, for all intents and purposes, seem to be a pretty nice guy. And then you found Bugsley, and now you're here.
So, it's kind of wild. A body and a head walk into a bar. but no, seriously, I'm kind of fucked right now. If someone could help put me back together, that would be massively appreciated. I've been, like, kind of misty-stepping all over the place.
Absolutely, yes, of course. Let me, wow. Wait! Mr., the Adonis, sorry, what is your name? I'm so sorry.
Sprocket.
You just want the Sprocket bit. Right, of course. You should come look at this as Dr. Kova takes a look. And you see that she's immediately has just, like, popped a panel on Brian's head.
What time is it? What time is it?
No, it's not quarantine time. Quarantine, it's fine, it's fine. Look.
Could have fooled me, mate.
Come look.
Oh, fuck you, no.
I don't think it's disease. Look, this is fascinating.
You have read the workers' comp clause in my contract, haven't you?
Me? No, I don't work for this ship. I am just here as guest. But this is really cool. Hubert kind of puts a hand on your shoulder like, you don't have to go in there if you want. I've read the workers' comp clause, and we don't have the budget to pay that kind of. So if you don't want to go in there, you don't have to. That's fine.
Well, to be honest, mate, whether or not you got the budget to pay it isn't really my concern.
Oh, right.
And I walk in.
No. No. Right. Okay. Someone's not getting paid.
You signed it,
man. That little metal guy needs help. You know, he's just what a good. Good small people around here.
As you go in, Sprocket, you realize that what Dr. Cover is pointing to is that in the top of Brian's head, where you would expect to see many circuits and, you know, and boards and things like that, you can see a little almost like spider web of living metal. It does seem that there is some of the embryum, which is the living metal that exists on Sim, has gotten its way inside of what was previously a fully just a full-blown automaton, and giving it apparently perfect sentience. That's what Brian just says out loud with no one no one saying anything. He just goes,
perfect sentience.
He's not wrong.
Have you ever seen anything like this before?
No. Ordinarily, I'd say that Brian here's a few chips short of a motherboard, but this seems to be working. Oh my god, it's beautiful.
It's quite impressive. I have never seen embryum attach itself to something else and give that something else sentience before. This is most interesting.
It's really elegant.
Did she call you Adonis, by the way?
Yeah. Adonis Napoleon Daedalus Sprocket. Sprocket's fine.
Your parents called you Adonis?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. Your parents call you eight.
Well, I never really had a motherboard, you know, growing up. I was always kind of like out and about, you know.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, as long as you had a supportive network, that's fine. Do you want me to put you back together or not, mate?
Oh, yeah, that'd be appreciated. Thanks, John.
All right, cool. Good. Glad we understand each other. Do you want some onion?
Oh, yeah. I'd fucking love some onion. Yeah, that'd be great.
I'm going to try and put Brian back into some semblance of working order. I'm not feeling like I'm a little bit sore about him chipping away at my first name. So, like, it's not going to be my best work.
I feel like the way Sprocket goes about this, I'm just imagining you kind of standing on Brian's chest and pulling at like one cable, and essentially a bit like a kind of like an old, like one of those old like floppy, do you know the like little wooden toys that are all floppy?
The toys where you press the base in.
But you press the base and they kind of go rigid again.
Yeah.
It's like you keep pulling it as one cable as all of the arms and legs just sort of start to reconnect. It's like, you're like, there we go.
Oh, hello. Okay. Oh, whoa. You're a chiropractor? That is beautiful work. Oh.
Yeah, don't mention it, mate.
If you have enjoyed this episode of the Rotating Heroes podcast, then why don't you go ahead and check out Oaths and Empires, which is another actual play show that I GM for the wonderful Luke Dale and Tom McKay from the amazing smash hit video game Kingdom Come Deliverance 2, in which we travail the Isle of Vale. I didn't even mean to make that rhyme. A dreary, rainy, monster-infested isle which is determined to push our heroes to the limit. It's a fantastic listen, if I do say so myself, and I would love to see some of you over there. This episode was produced by 12 Sided Studios. Producers are me, Jasper William Cartwright, Jess Jewell, and Chad Pytel. Our social media manager is Ellie Crook, and the episodes are edited and sound designed by the wonderful Oliver Moore. And your cast for this arc is Josephine McAdam, Johnny Chiodini, and Edward Spence. And me, your GM. Thank you so much for listening, everyone.
Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.